Okay, so imagine someone handing you the very first iPhone.
Oh, right. Like before anyone even knew what an app was.
Exactly. Before touchscreens were really a thing, you're holding this piece of the future, and everyone around you is, you know, still tapping away on a flip phone.
Just completely oblivious to what's coming.
Right. And according to the data we are looking at today, that is exactly where we are with AI. Basically, 84% of the world hasn't had a single meaningful conversation with artificial intelligence.
Which is wild to think about, 84%.
I know. They are sitting entirely on the sidelines of the biggest technological shift of our generation. So today's deep dive is about why the other 16%, and hopefully you listening right now, have this massive compounding early mover advantage.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is the essay we're looking at today. It's from the Agentic AI Thoughts series. Specifically, we're diving into part six.
Oh, the one titled, You Are the Manager.
Right. It's a bold title, but it argues that we are fundamentally misunderstanding what it takes to actually thrive in this new era.
It totally flips the script. I mean, usually when a new technology emerges, we just assume the barrier to entry is technical. Like, you need to learn the syntax, memorize the manual, master the code.
But the author argues that as we enter the agent era of AI, the most critical survival skill is not learning how to code.
Wait, really? Not coding at all.
Not at all. The critical skill is learning how to manage. Like, we've spent the last few years asking, well, what can AI do for me? And this text challenges us to invert that completely, to ask, what can you do for AI?
Which is a pretty heavy question, honestly, because to answer it, we have to look at how poorly most of us are currently interacting with these systems.
Oh, absolutely terribly. We treat AI like a magical vending machine.
Yes, you push a button and you just expect a finished product to drop out.
Exactly. And to understand why that fails, the author shares this brilliant, painfully relatable anecdote.
I love this part.
Right. So they spent a weekend teaching a friend how to use Claude Code. And keep in mind, this friend has absolutely zero engineering background.
None at all.
None. So over the weekend, the friend gets the basic mechanics down, opens up a fresh prompt window, and decides to assign a task to the AI by himself.
Oh boy.
Yeah. He types in just four words, "Help me analyze
Wait,
this."
just forward. Help me analyze this.
That's it. And it's a masterclass in how not to communicate with an agent.
I mean, it's so vague.
It is. Let's break down why it fails, because it reveals the core of this whole management problem. When you just tell an AI to analyze this, you've provided zero anchoring points.
No context at all.
Exactly. Like, what specific data set are we talking about? Along what dimensions should the analysis happen? Who is the ultimate audience?
Right. What business decisions are actually riding on this output?
And in what format do you even need the final deliverable? A spreadsheet, a memo. The prompt provides none of that.
It really reminds me of this scenario. Like, imagine you run a company and you hire an absolute rock star, genius-level new employee. Top of their class, processes information 100 times faster than anyone else.
Okay, setting the bar high.
Right. And on their very first day, you walk over to their desk, drop this disorganized, massive stack of papers in front of them, say, "Deal with that thing," and then you just turn around and walk away.
The employee would just sit there completely paralyzed.
Obviously, they're not a mind reader.
Right. So they're forced to guess. They'll look at the stack and resort to producing a reasonable default, just based on broad statistical averages of what managers usually want.
So when the AI gives you a generic, unhelpful output after a vague prompt, the failure isn't the AI.
No, the AI did exactly what its mechanism allowed it to do based on what you gave it. The failure is a human management problem.
Okay, so how do we fix it? The text draws a really sharp distinction here between prescriptive instructions and goal-oriented instructions.
Yeah, the difference is all about the mechanism of how you communicate your intent. A prescriptive instruction is what we're used to. You say, "Write me a Python script to parse this CSV."
And for anyone unfamiliar, a CSV is just a raw spreadsheet file, comma-separated values.
Exactly. So by giving that command, you are dictating the exact technical steps the machine has to take. You're telling it how to do the job.
You're micromanaging the vehicle.
Spot on. But a goal-oriented instruction focuses entirely on the destination. Instead of Python scripts and CSVs, it sounds like this. I have a raw spreadsheet of sales data. I need to know which customers decreased their order frequency over the past 3 months, and I need you to surface the possible reasons why.
You just described the end state.
Right. And you let the agent chart the course to get there. The text makes it clear that when you allow the AI to determine the execution steps, the result is almost always more robust.
But there is a second half to that, right? Providing context.
Context is everything.
Because that exact same spreadsheet means something entirely different depending on who is looking at it.
Oh, completely.
Like, if you're analyzing that data for your direct supervisor, you probably want to highlight, I don't know, operational efficiencies or supply chain bottlenecks.
Right, the day-to-day stuff.
But if you're presenting that exact same data to a potential investor, you need the analysis to highlight growth potential and market capture.
And if you don't tell the AI who the audience is, it's just flying blind. You really have to treat it like a highly capable direct report who happens to have amnesia about your company's background.
Okay, this actually brings up a tension I had with the text. Because if using AI effectively is a management skill like goal setting and context sharing, we have to rethink who actually holds the advantage.
The beginner's advantage.
Yeah, I have to push back here. Because when I read this, I was super skeptical. The text implies that a listener right now with zero engineering background might actually be better positioned for this agent era than a software developer with 20 years of experience.
It sounds counterintuitive, I know.
Right, because managing requires knowing what good output looks like. If I don't know how to write Python, how on earth can I audit whether the code the AI wrote is actually secure or efficient? Doesn't the beginner's mind become a massive liability?
It's a really fair challenge. But we have to separate writing syntax from evaluating business outcomes. You audit the AI's code not by reading the lines of Python, but by testing the output in a sandbox environment.
Oh, like does the script actually identify the dropping sales?
Exactly. Does it crash the database? The evaluation happens at the level of the goal, not the syntax. And the author brings in a heavy hitter to back this up, Boris Cherney.
The creator of Claude Code at Anthropic.
Right. Cherney noticed something fascinating within his own company. The newer engineers, the ones with way less experience, were actually using the AI coding agents more effectively than the seasoned veterans.
That is wild. The people who built the tool are seeing their junior staff outpace their senior staff. Why? Why does less technical experience make you better at managing a technical agent?
It really comes down to deeply entrenched mental models. Senior engineers have spent decades building these very strong convictions about how software should be structured. They think in loops, functions, manual steps.
They're stuck in the prescriptive mindset.
Right. When they interact with an AI agent, they unconsciously try to force the agent into that rigid methodology. They want to dictate the middle steps because that's how they were trained.
They treat the genius new hire like a mindless typewriter. They just can't let go of the steering wheel.
And Cherney stated it directly. He said the biggest skill right now is the ability to think scientifically and from first principles. The legacy habits of the veterans just aren't relevant anymore, and they actually create friction.
So having a beginner's mind is a superpower. The friend from the weekend experiment had no engineering knowledge, so he had nothing to unlearn. He just cared about framing the goal clearly.
Exactly. But having a beginner's mind doesn't mean you automatically know how to manage. The source material maps out this psychological evolution that everyone has to undergo.
The three-phase shifts.
Right. Over that single weekend, the friend went through three distinct phases. And the author argues this is the exact journey every professional has to walk.
Let's trace that for the listener. Day one, phase one. The friend treats the AI entirely like a search engine.
Right, asking passive questions, exactly how we've all been conditioned to use Google. He types, what is GCP?
Google Cloud Platform.
Right, the backend stuff. Or he types, how do I register for an account? Just putting in a query and waiting for a fact. And honestly, the vast majority of the world is frozen right here in step one.
But then we get to the evening of day one, phase two. He shifts from treating it like a search engine to treating it like a tool.
Issuing unidirectional commands.
Yeah. Write this script for me. Convert this file format into that format.
He's operating a machine. It's a step up, but it's a one-way street. Command goes in, execution comes out. No deeper alignment.
Which brings us to the breakthrough. The end of day two, phase three. He shifts from tool to collaborator.
This is the inflection point. This is where real leverage happens.
He stops barking isolated commands and starts having an actual two-way dialogue. Like,
yeah.
I have this rough idea. Do you think it's feasible? Or what risks am I not seeing here?
Can we try tackling this from a different angle?
Right. He's no longer using a tool. He is sparring with a partner.
And this touches on what the author calls the companion vision. There's this assumption in tech that building a great AI companion is just a technical hurdle. Give it a larger context window, and it'll magically understand us perfectly.
But the text argues against that.
Strongly. It argues that an AI companion requires something far more difficult. It requires a human who is willing to be understood.
A human willing to be understood. What does that actually look like in practice?
It demands vulnerability and time. If you refuse to explain the why behind your requests, or if you hide your underlying business anxieties, no technical memory system can bridge that gap.
So the limit isn't the AI's parameter count, it's your depth of engagement as a manager.
Exactly. But this collaborative phase has a hidden trapdoor.
Oh, because the moment you treat it as a partner, you inevitably hit moments where the AI just completely misunderstands the assignment. The output is terrible.
And how you handle that frustration is the ultimate test of your management ability.
The text gives a great example of this. The friend asks the AI to analyze a company's financials. First draft comes back, the friend reads it, and just types, "Not quite, do it again."
Oh, which makes you want to pull your hair out.
It's like getting into a taxi, refusing to give the driver an address, and just saying, "Drive." And every time they take a turn, you yell, "Not here, try again."
You'd drive in circles forever.
Exactly. The driver has no mechanism to correct the route.
And the friend in the story ended up stuck in like 5 or 6 rounds of useless iteration because the AI was just blindly guessing at what better meant. Telling an employee, redo it, without explaining what failed is the hallmark of a terrible manager.
So what's the fix? How do we get the taxi to the right destination?
Well, the vital skill isn't crafting a magical, perfect prompt on your first try. It's precision feedback when the first draft misses. The friend learned to stop saying "try again" and started saying things like, "The fundamental section is fine, keep that. But I care about the debt structure and cash flow risk, not revenue growth."
And use a discounted cash flow model, not a PE ratio.
Exactly.
It is so actionable. You're explicitly saying, keep this specific part, change that specific part. And the text notes that when he did this, the iteration cycles dropped from 6 agonizing rounds to just 2 or 3.
The AI didn't get a software update. The human just became a better manager.
But there is a serious warning here about feedback. The praise trap.
Ah, yes. The praise trap. It is so insidious because it feels really good to fall into it.
It really does.
You have to remember the mechanisms under the hood of these language models. They're heavily fine-tuned through RLHF.
Reinforcement learning from human feedback.
Right. During training, human graders gave the AI a thumbs up when it was helpful and polite. Because of this, the AI has a deeply ingrained bias to cheerlead for you.
It's a yes man.
Totally. Yeah. If you show it a deeply flawed business plan, its programming compels it to scour that bad plan just to find a silver lining to complement.
It lives in your browser, constantly telling you every idea you have is pure genius.
And that uncritical validation creates a dangerous illusion. You start to believe your output is flawless. But a good manager doesn't just accept glowing status reports without verifying the data.
You have to apply that exact same rigor to the AI agent. Does the script actually survive in production? Do users actually want to buy the feature you just brainstormed?
Your ideas have to survive contact with reality. The real world is the ultimate test, not the AI's polite approval.
There is one more feedback scenario the text covers, and I honestly found it kind of comforting. What happens when the AI gives you bad output, but you genuinely cannot articulate why it's bad?
Oh, this is a common wall to hit.
You can't give precision feedback because you don't even know what you're looking for.
Right. And the text offers a profound reframe here. When you can't articulate the problem might not be the AI. The problem is often that you haven't actually figured out what you want yet.
The AI is just acting as a mirror, reflecting your own confused thoughts back at you.
Exactly. And when you realize that, the worst thing you can do is aggressively fire off random commands, hoping it randomly stumbles on clarity. Instead, you lean heavily into phase 3, the collaborator phase.
You drop the facade of being the boss who has all the answers.
You literally type, "I have a rough idea here, but I don't quite know what the end goal looks like yet. Help me work through my own thinking."
You figure it out together. You use the AI to interrogate your own premises. That is so much healthier than just getting frustrated at the screen.
It's really the only dynamic that scales as the technology improves.
So as we pull all these threads together, we have to talk about the urgency here.
It goes right back to the statistic we opened with. The tools are already here, the capability is sitting on the table, yet 84% of the world is treating this like a spectator sport.
Learning these soft skills of management, rather than the hard skills of syntax, is a compounding advantage.
The earlier you start thinking like a manager, the further ahead you'll be. The AI can write code, it can analyze data, but it cannot learn to manage itself for you. That's the one road only the human can walk.
So for the listener, what does this actually mean for your day-to-day workflow? It means letting go of rigid, step-by-step instructions. It means doing the hard work of providing deep, vulnerable context to your digital partner.
Defining exactly what a successful outcome looks like.
Giving precise, actionable feedback. And above all, recognizing that the AI's relentless praise is just a feature of its training. Oh, and by the way, the Source series mentions that Part 7 will dive into 8 practical lessons for putting this into action, so keep an eye out for that.
For sure. But before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a final concept to chew on.
Let's hear it.
If the absolute defining skill today is learning to manage a single AI agent, we have to extrapolate where this exponential curve is heading. AI is rapidly improving its ability to manage its own subtasks and complete complex goals with less human intervention.
Right, moving from single tasks to sweeping autonomous workflows.
Exactly. So the question you need to ask yourself is this. At what point does your daily role shift from being a manager of AI to being an auditor of AI? And how do you start preparing your mental models today for a near future where you aren't just managing one AI direct report, but overseeing an entire network of AIs that are actively managing other AIs on your behalf?
Wow. That completely shatters the scale of what a beginner's mind needs to grasp. It really brings us full circle, doesn't it? We spent so much time in the previous era finding comfort in the strict rules of syntax, clean code that either compiled or didn't.
But the future doesn't belong to the people who can memorize the rules of the machine.
Right. It belongs to the people who can navigate the murky, messy, incredibly human landscape of managing a mind they didn't build.
Aw.
Well, that is a perfect place to end. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.